prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning. The truth will set you free. It is
Easter
Sunday.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Truth Revolution Day.
Let's see how well you know your traditions, Dave.
Uh-huh.
He is risen. You're supposed to say he is risen indeed.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Did you not go to traditional church when you were a kid?
I did, but that was many, many years ago. In case you couldn't tell by these lines on my face.
That's okay. Our church is not traditional, but that's okay.
Totally.
So he has risen, and yes, indeed he has risen. He is risen indeed.
Actually, after you said that, I remembered that.
So I'm glad if you're joining us today. Obviously, the question we're talking about today is, how do we know Jesus really rose?
And if you've been listening to us for any length of time, like over the last year and a half, you should know.
Yeah,
you'll know that we staunchly believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus rose from the dead.
Because this is where faith and reason meet,
and
we have good reason to believe. It's not just faith. It's not blind faith, I should say. Right. It's faith that is reasonable.
Yeah. Our show is like a car crash at the corner of Faith and Reason Street. Totally.
A car crash?
Yes. And there's no yield sign at all. Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Sorry. Wrong. No. Okay. All right.
Awesome.
Happy Easter. Our radio show is a car crash.
Oh, it's big and loud. It's, it's fun.
We're going to start, before we even get into the reasons we know Jesus rose from the dead, I want to promise you something. I want to promise you the same thing Jesus promised you. And is this, Revelation 22. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This very clearly means Jesus made a promise. He is coming again.
That's awesome.
We have both reward and judgment coming.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's going to give according to what we've done.
Well, there's a problem.
The problem is all we've done most of our lives is wrong.
Yeah.
Except that which God's enabled us to do good. I mean, we've all done something wrong. Dave, have you ever done anything wrong?
Oh, yeah.
And the Bible teaches us that no matter how much good we do, it cannot overcome the bad. We have to have a relationship with Jesus. Real faith, really living it out. So there it is. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back to judge us.
And if that scares you, I mean, you're not alone, of course, but maybe you should do some thinking.
You know, it does seem a little weird, doesn't it? Jesus coming back. Oh, 2,000 years. That's a long time to wait.
And it creates a lot of questions.
We even got a question this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you guys know that Jesus really rose from the dead? This was a question sent in by a listener. And, it might be true. It might not. But it might be true. That Jesus is coming back. And I think, what if Jesus is coming back? How do we know it? And the answer is, we know that Jesus is coming back because of Easter. Can I explain this a little bit, David?
You may explain.
All right.
I'm just watching. Go ahead.
If I can show that Easter is real, then there's good reason to believe that the future promise Jesus made was real.
Amen.
Because the Bible said Jesus was coming once, and he did. The Bible says Jesus is coming again. So if he came the first time, just as promised, miraculously,
right,
then he probably will come again. So let's look at another promise God made. Jesus' first coming. The prediction was that he would die and rise from the dead. Now, because Easter was the first promise, one of the very first prophecies or promises in the Bible is that Jesus will come and defeat Satan. Did you know that?
Right, yes.
It's called the Proto-Evangelium. The very first prophecy in the book of Genesis says someone's going to come and destroy the work of Satan. And there are all sorts of predictions about Jesus coming. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this because we've done this multiple times on the show. We know the Messiah is going to be from a guy named Abraham, Genesis 12, from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49. It's going to be from the house of David, 2 Samuel 7. He's going to be from the town of Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. This is basically an address,
right,
Dave.
We've talked about this so many times, we're like blue in the face.
Exactly. This is not something that just anybody could fulfill. This is very specific. There's not very many people on earth, especially at that time, that could fulfill these prophecies.
Right.
And the biggest prophecy, the Messiah would actually be the very Son of God, Psalm 2, 2 Samuel 7. Unlikely? God becoming man? Yeah. Yep. That seems unlikely. But look, if it's true that God became man once and coming back again, well, that's really easy to believe.
Right. Well, yeah, because if he's done it and we can prove that he's done it, why can't he do it again?
Exactly. Jesus fulfilled, I just listed a few, Jesus fulfilled at least 191 prophecies.
How amazing is that?
191.
That's crazy.
Could anyone do that? I don't know. Dave, you're a twin.
Yeah, I am.
The odds of twins being born is 1 in 50.
Okay. That's awesome.
The odds of quadruplets being born, 1 in 729,000. Now, that's not counting fertility drugs.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's cheating.
That makes it like 1 out of 3. The odds of winning the California lottery is 1 in 41 million, at least last time I checked that.
Mm-hmm.
The odds of dying on a bus is 1 in 500 million. The odds of dying on a plane is 1 in 4.6 million. Lesson there, Dave. Take the bus.
Take
the bus. All right. The odds of Earth is going to be hit by a seriously damaging meteor? 1 in 20,000.
That's kind of scary.
Take the bus or a plane. It doesn't matter. Meteor's going to kill you anyway.
Well, on another planet. Take the bus on a different planet.
Okay, the odds of winning... But this just goes to show you how unlikely these things are.
Right.
I mean, even a meteor is 1 in 20,000. How many times does that happen? I mean, a seriously damaging meteor. Now, the odds of winning two lotteries in one day... anyone's listening to the show who has won two lotteries in one day,
please call us.
You can donate to the radio show just like other people do.
That would be awesome.
Starts at 99 cents at truthrevolution.tv. You can do that maybe a billion times.
Right.
Anyway, the odds are 1 in 24 billion.
24 billion?
One.
How many people are on this planet? Like what?
Like 6-7 billion? Yeah, something like that. I mean, let's add those all up and throw in a few more, okay? The odds of you actually winning a lottery and then going home to find out that you just had twins and then you die in a bus ride to another state where you win that state lottery also. I know you're dead, but just go with it. And when you phone home, you realize that your wife just had quadruplets. Apparently, you have two wives. And when you go outside to rejoice, you see the world was just hit by a seriously damaging meteor from outer space. The odds of this happening, Dave, 1 in 10 to the 31st power.
That's a really bad day. I don't care if you win the lottery or have quadruplet. That's a really bad day.
Because you died on a bus ride and saw the Earth get hit by a meteor. Yeah, I suppose if you win the lottery, it doesn't matter if you're dead. But anyway, the point is, the 1 in 10 to the 31st power. Okay, that's a 1 with a 10 with 31 zeros behind it. Mm-hmm. But what are the odds that you could fulfill some of the prophecies Jesus did? 1 in 10 to the, not 31st power, but 157th power. Okay, this is, I mean, 31 zeros compared to 157. I mean, this is, the difference here is 126 zeros. Now, just to frame it in your mind a little bit. Okay, say you had $10.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have $10 or $1 million? I mean, that's a big difference. If you worked it right, you could live on that $1 million for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
$10, that barely gets you through McDonald's if you have a family.
If you worked that right, you could live off that for the rest of your life. If you worked it right, but you'd have to be really, really magical or something.
If you were on welfare. Right. No, it's... I mean, it's a huge... That's only 5 zeros difference.
Right.
We're talking 126 zero difference between all those crazy things and Jesus fulfilling...
Right.
Prophecies.
Make no mistake, we're not talking about like 157 digits. We're talking about 157 zeros.
That means like it's unfathomable.
Yeah.
Basically, it means this is impossible. It is statistically impossible. You cannot fulfill even 48 of the 191 prophecies Jesus fulfilled. They only measured 48 of them because some of them it's like, hey, being born of a virgin.
Right. How do you measure that?
Exactly. I mean, but this seems to be the real deal. Jesus really was who he said he was.
Right.
Now, Easter, fact or fiction?
We say fact.
We say fact. He fulfilled all the prophecy, but he made that one promise that we're concerned with right now because of Easter, that he would rise from the dead this Easter weekend. And this is the real question. Everything hangs on this question. Did Jesus rise from the dead? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 19. It says this.
If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile.
Hear that? Your faith is futile.
Yes. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
If the resurrection is true, Christianity is true.
Mm-hmm.
If it is false, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, Christianity dies, and we should abandon it. And what's best is that this event, the resurrection, can be researched, studied, and the students can come to a conclusion, true or false.
Exactly.
If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's no second coming, no judgment. But if he did rise from the dead, the second coming is very real.
Very real.
So did he? The Quran claims that Jesus only pretended to be dead. If you read the Quran, go look at Surah 4, verse 157. Is it true? Maybe Jesus just pretended to be dead.
Well, you know, there's plenty of those stories floating around, you know, like, where he moved to France and, you know, lived with Mary Magdalene and had offspring.
And drank wine and cheese.
Right. Drank cheese?
He melted it first.
Oh, okay, right on.
Look at the night before the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. Luke 22:44 says, being in anguish, he, Jesus, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, a lot of people might make fun of this, go, see, the Bible's just stupid.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he was so praying hard, so much anxiety, his sweat was like blood, right.
We talked about that before, and that's an actual condition.
It is. It's called hematidrosis.
Uh-huh.
It's a medical condition that causes excretion of the blood in the sweat. When you become extremely agitated, extremely full of anxiety, this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does, it makes your skin very fragile. And then Jesus was flogged or scourged. After the hematidrosis set in, the Romans arrested him. They whipped him. The scourges were whips with small pieces of metal or bone at the tips.
Mm.
It would almost be like being whipped with a ball of razor-sharp barbed wire. It would have stripped Jesus' skin into ribbons of bleeding flesh. Matthew 27 says they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Now the thorns were to cause more pain and more bleeding.
Yes.
It was, I mean, they hit him on the head after that.
Right.
Then it drove those thorns in. They didn't just use it for decoration. I mean, they used thorns for a reason.
Right.
And then they nailed him to the cross using nails that were 5 to 7 inches long, 3/8 inch square. We got more information on the other side of the show here. TruthRevolution.tv.
Yay, check out past shows.
You can check out and donate to the show if you're interested, because you guys make this show happen.
Oh, definitely.
Big shout out to everyone who helps us and loves us and supports this show.
Thank you.
And we're going to be right back on the other side of this break. We're going to do a Bible contradiction.
Uh-huh.
We're also going to finish this, how we know Jesus not only died, but how we know he rose from the dead, logically, archaeologically, and scientifically as best we can. Catch you on the other side of the break. Go to truthrevolution.tv. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This Sunday is Easter, and you're invited to Revolution Church. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com, www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. Happy Easter to you today, and we're talking about the resurrection of Christ.
That's right. Where faith and reason meet is what this show is all about. We use our brains as well as our faith, and we combine them. And we've asked the question, did Jesus really die and rise from the dead? He promised to come back a second time.
Right. So if he came the first time,
and he did what he said he would, which is die and rise from the dead, then we know he's going to come back a second time. If this is all fake, if he didn't really die and rise from the dead, we don't have to worry about the second coming.
Well, we are to be pitied.
We are to be pitied. Yeah. Just leave Christianity. It's a fool's errand if Jesus didn't die and rise from the dead.
Right.
Now, we've already pointed out that he had hematidrosis. His skin was fragile, and then he was scourged, and then they drove thorns into his head, and then they nailed him to a cross using huge nails, 5 to 7 inches long. And then after he died, they pierced him.
Yeah, that would be pretty much it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're not going to live through that.
Right.
You know, and the description is interesting because it clearly tells us, you know, it says that blood and water flowed.
Mm-hmm.
This tells us that not only were Jesus' lungs pierced, but the spear went through his heart.
Yeah. Didn't it like pierce the pericardium?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. There's a sac around the heart that contains water, and it was pierced as well as pleural fluids from the lungs. This medical evidence isn't something that the writers of the gospel would totally be aware of.
Right. They weren't scholars in biology. And
right. So when they write, well, they pierced his side and then blood and water came out.
Right. They wrote what they saw.
Exactly. And people may have even mocked it years and years ago before they understood what happened. Water flowed out of him? Oh, come on. Right. But now we know what that was. And we know that Jesus died. What about after that? Luke 24 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. What did the women find, Dave, on the first day of the week?
An empty tomb.
Dun, dun, dun. And what do you do when you have an empty tomb? You assume the person's alive.
Right. Or... You know, no. You don't assume, this empty tomb, you assume the person's alive, but, you know, I mean.
No, they didn't even assume he was alive. They were freaked out.
All right, here I'm making assumptions on stuff that's already known.
That's right. The women freaked out. They did not believe Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples went to the tomb, looked at it, and they were puzzled.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's scratching his head, the Bible says, going, what is going on? He was trying to figure it out.
Right.
They even had an angel tell him, you know, Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead. And they're like, yeah, but what happened here?
Peter was such a thinker.
What's interesting is why, what did the women find? Well, they found the empty tomb. But this is interesting because the books of the Bible would never have included females as the discoverers of the tomb unless it really happened. Back then, in that day and culture, women could not serve as legal witnesses.
Right, because they were basically second-class citizens. Right?
Early Jewish text from around the time of Jesus actually says, sooner let the words of the law be burnt than delivered to women.
Yikes.
The point is, if they were going to make up a story about Jesus being alive, it would have been much easier to not include that thing about the women finding the tomb.
Hey, just say Peter found it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Say someone of high reputation, you know, a government official found it.
Right.
But we know there's some historical records. The Roman government and the Jewish authorities all agreed the tomb of Jesus was empty.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just from the Bible. I mean, this is a historical fact. The Romans, the Jews, the Christians all agreed the tomb was empty.
Well, it's still a mystery that those who do not believe have not solved.
That's exactly right. They make up all kinds of stories, mm-hmm. Which we're not going to go into today. But everybody agrees the tomb was empty. So now we know Jesus died. And the tomb was empty a few days later. And if that's not enough, not only was the tomb empty, but he started appearing to people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to get into that. But I think before we do that, Dave, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Do it. Bible contradiction. Da-da-da-da. All right. Bible contradiction today comes from, I did a little switch around. This comes from the thinkingatheist.com.
Not Evil Bible?
Well, Evil Bible was getting a little too easy.
Man.
I decided to find something that said thinking on it. So I
miss my old friends.
Thinking Atheist.
To Thinking Atheist.
Yes. All right. So how long did it take for Jesus to get to heaven after the crucifixion? Did he go straight there or did he lollygag?
No.
All right.
The answer is no.
Matthew 12:40 said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Yeah.
Meaning Jesus wouldn't ascend to heaven for 3 days. His journey is compared to Jonah's three days in the belly of the fish.
Yep.
Luke 23:42-43 says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So it says Jesus is to be in paradise that very day? What gives, Jeff?
Well, that's a good question.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, the thinking atheist apparently thinks a little bit better than Evil Bible. This is better. This is better. A better possible contradiction.
Right.
It's not a contradiction. I'll explain why.
How can it be a better contradiction if it's not a contradiction?
I just mean it makes us think a little harder than the ones Evil Bible were throwing at us.
Oh, he's making us work. All right.
Let's go over our cracked acronym for solving Bible contradictions. Context is the very first C.
Okay.
You have to have context. The context of these verses is important. Matthew 12. He was talking, the context there, he was not giving a physical, or excuse me, he was not giving a spiritual description. He was giving a physical description. Also, the D in cracked stands for dialect. You have to know the words he was using, the language he was using. He was talking about a physical presence. He says Jesus was going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights. Physically, he was in the earth. His body was there in the place, just like Jonah was in the whale.
Right.
Okay, physically. Now, Luke 23, Jesus said, remember me, or the guy said to Jesus, remember me? Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. Is Jesus his body?
No.
The context and the dialect here is talking about his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the thief went to paradise, which wasn't heaven, by the way. It was paradise.
Oh, I see.
But you have two different things going on. Jesus' body went to one place and his spirit went to another place.
That almost like really makes sense once you listen to it.
Yeah,
it's like, think about it.
It's almost like the Bible writers and Jesus knew what they were talking about.
Right.
That's the answer for Bible contradiction today. I'd like to thank the thinking atheist for thinking.
Bible contradiction.
To think around here.
We like thinking.
We do. We ask questions.
I actually followed some atheists on Twitter, got into a few little discussions with them.
Right.
Some of them are just angry, but I found a couple of them that have, you know, it's interesting to talk to.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're interesting. So, anyway, Jesus really died, we've established. The tomb was really empty. And now we're going to hear that Jesus started appearing to people. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, and I want you to listen to this because this is important.
Okay.
For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, his brother, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. This was actually a creed. 1 Corinthians 15 in general was written by Paul. But this was a creed not written by Paul. This was written much, much earlier, 2 or 3 years after Jesus' resurrection.
Really?
Yeah. And there's already a creed that people are memorizing and saying to explain who he appeared to and what order and when.
Okay, right on.
It proves that this is not some legend that crept in. This was something people believed right away. And it also shows there were a large number of eyewitnesses. Even James, the brother of Jesus, saw Jesus risen and believed. I mean, James, he was Jesus' brother. Dave, if your brother claims to be God, are you going to believe him?
Absolutely not. I'm sorry, bro, but, you know.
If your brother said, I'm God, I'm going to die and rise from the dead, and then he died, you'd be like, goodbye, brother.
Yep.
You were crazy, but now you're dead. And then all of a sudden his tomb was empty and he appeared to you, you'd be like, oh, snap.
Snap, yeah. It's like, well, hey, what happened, dude?
Yeah, I mean, this all of a sudden has a little bit of flavor of legitimacy to it.
Got a little bit of weight there.
I mean, Mark 3 says, then Jesus entered a house and a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family, that would be James, his brother, heard about this, they went to take charge of him. For they said, Jesus is out of his mind. Jesus' brother thought him to be insane.
Right. And this was, of course, before the resurrection, right? This was way before
Resurrection.
So, I mean, yeah, James thought
he was
Jesus
not,
was crazy.
Yeah, he was not a believer in Jesus.
Right. And how does a man go from thinking his brother is crazy to going to thinking that
his brother is God?
Believing that, yeah, his brother's God. That, you know, just didn't happen.
Furthermore, James died believing and preaching that Jesus had risen from the dead.
He did.
The Roman historian Josephus says that he was stoned to death for teaching Jesus was God who rose from the dead. You see a change here. First, James believes Jesus lost his mind. Then James is willing to die and does die because of his belief. Now ask yourself, what would it take to convince you that your brother was God?
It would take a lot.
It would take more than just an empty grave.
It would.
Jesus appeared to James, and because of that, James was willing to die because he believed that his brother was the Lord.
Right.
James, Peter, Paul, Thomas the doubter, many others did not believe Jesus had risen, but then Jesus appears to them. After that, they all claimed Jesus was alive, even when put to death for that belief. And not a single right. one of them recanted, though they all became martyrs.
Right, they did. All except for,
John didn't become a martyr.
Well, but he was boiled in oil and survived.
Then he was
put on the island of Patmos to work in the mines, and he died at a ripe old age, around in his 90s.
Now, wait, he was boiled in oil?
That's the tradition, or at least that's what I read.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah. He miraculously survived being boiled in oil.
I'm gonna look that up. That's interesting.
You do that, and everybody else do that too, because then you can tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong.
But he even died basically exiled as a prisoner, and he never recanted. No one who followed Jesus of his apostles recanted their faith.
Right.
They all said, "We saw him, and no matter what you do to us, we're going to preach it."
Man,
that's serious, because nobody dies for what they know to be a lie.
Right.
If it's unimportant, and this would certainly be. Not a big deal. I mean, we're not going to start a religion. Hey, Dave, let's start a religion, and let's say so-and-so rose from the dead.
Right. And we would be snickering until they started putting us to death.
Yeah, and there's like 500 of us, and and then they start torturing us, ostracizing us in our society, killing us, murdering us. Eventually, someone's going to say, okay, guys, we made it up.
All right, yeah. And check this out. We'll even go more extreme with this. People will recant a truth.
That's true.
When faced with bodily harm.
That's true.
You know? And so, don't you think it'd be easier to recant a lie?
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes people say, well, people die for lies all the time. Well, that's true, but they believe it.
Right.
They believe it.
And it's one thing if maybe one or two of them died thinking, well, they were just a little nutty. But this was to a man. Every one of them.
Every one of the apostles. You know? Mm-hmm. And not only that, I've got a book called The Martyr's Mirror. I've got another one called Fox's Book of Martyrs. These huge, thick books, hundreds and thousands of pages, just lists of people who died and how they died for the faith, because they saw Jesus risen, they knew he was real, or they believed the testimony of the apostles. You don't get this many thousands of people dying for something that they don't strongly believe in, especially the apostles who saw Jesus.
Right.
That's huge. Now, if Easter is real, odds are Jesus will come again. Because remember, the first promise was, I'm coming again.
Amen.
And he said before he was going to come, and he did come. And then on Easter, he died and he rose from the dead, just like he said.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he was going to show up and he showed up. He said he's going to die and rise from the dead, and he did. He also said he's coming again. If he fulfilled that first promise, if he fulfilled the next promise, he will fulfill this last promise.
Yes.
He is coming again. The question is, with all the evidence, will you be ready? What will we do because of the evidence? Because it's true, following Jesus should be a priority in my life and your life.
Right.
Dave, could you imagine finding out something's true but ignoring it, something important?
Right.
Like a mortgage on your house. You get a bill that says, final notice, pay this bill, you have the money,
right?
But you just ignore it.
I just wad it up and throw it in the trash, right? More money to spend on. Mm-hmm.
What would you call that person?
Ignorant? Maybe?
Foolish?
Jinx, you owe me a cup.
Dude, that's not cool. I had a friend named Jeremy when I lived in California. He heard all the evidence. He wasn't a Christian. I laid it out to him over the course of a year or two. We were at Taco Bell. I said, dude, I've laid out the evidence. When are you going to decide to follow Jesus? He admitted it was true, but then he said, I'll probably have to get in a car wreck or something traumatic first, because I don't want to stop living the way I'm living.
Right.
If there really is a God of the universe, my friends, you know that he's real. You know the evidence is there. So choose to believe. Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give according to what you've done. So, I'd like to invite you to Revolution Church this morning.
Right, 10:15.
And this isn't going to be a guilt trip. This is going to be an awesome celebration. We're going to do some practical teaching.
We don't do guilt trips here, honestly.
We don't. This morning was about as guilt trippy as we get.
Right.
So, I just want you guys to come on out. Have a good time. Wear jeans, t-shirt, whatever. Revolution Church. Go to our website, truthrevolution.tv. You can also watch Revolution Church live online, slinerevolution.com. Check us out. Hope you can make it and have a happy Easter.
See you next week.